Please welcome Dean Thompson.
So, I love spring on the central coast of California. And contrary to popular belief, spring actually starts in November. I know the calendar might say it's fall, but it's really spring. Because spring starts when you get those first rains that come in. And those first rains come in and they wash away the summer dust. And the ground soaks up the moisture like a sponge. And then every successive storm that rolls through kind of freshens up the chaparral plants. They kind of rouse out of their summer slumber and sprout new growth. And the ceanothus starts budding out. Peonies push up from sandy hollows. The sage regains that fresh, piney scent again. And the hills slowly gain a hint of green, and the air stays fresh and cool all day. And then the sky is filled with just a myriad of different clouds, unlike the summer when it's just plain gray or blue. And then you have that golden November light, casting long shadows on the cool north slopes. You know, it's on days like that you just feel like you can walk forever, not getting tired, not getting sweaty, just feeling the land come back to life, drinking up the moisture. Well, I was lucky enough on a day like that to take some boys up Valencia Peak in Montanadero State Park. They're staying at our outdoor science camp. And we don't go up to the very top of Valencia Peak. Instead, we go about halfway to a place we call Junior Valencia. And it's not really a hard hike. It's like 3 miles, about 900-foot elevation gain. There's some steep parts in it. But to these boys I was taking up there, they were from the flatlands of Bakersfield. And this was a mountain. And they were climbing this mountain. They've been hearing about this hike all week, and it was their turn. All the other classmates in the camp had done it, and now this was their final hike for the week. Now, as any teacher or naturalist can tell you, when you first get your group of kids, you're sizing them up. You're looking at them. It's like, okay, who's the alpha in this group? Who's the brain? Okay, and if it's a strenuous walk, you're looking at, okay, oh, who's going to have the hardest time? Who's a little bit out of shape? Who am I going to have to watch out for? And then you have your chaperones, the adults that are with you. And it's like, what are they going to be like? Are they going to be helpful, or are they just going to be a pain in the ass the whole hike? Well, on this particular day, I had a wonderful group of boys. They're just fantastic. I mean, I had, you know, white, black, Mexican, Asian, kids of ethnically ambiguous origins. It's just a perfect representation of our country, really. And I had some soccer players, a few basketball players, some nerds, a couple of goofballs, one boy named Josh, who I identified as the one that was going to have a hard time. He was a little out of shape. But as the walk went on, I just learned he was just had a fantastic attitude and a very bright kid. My two chaperones were a young man who worked in the oil fields in Kern County, and then an older man, a grandfather of one of the boys, who was older than me, but by the way he carried himself, I could tell he was going to be no problem. He was in fine shape. And so we got the kids together, did introductions, talked about our names and everything, and then I explained to him, yeah, we're climbing the mountain. That's one of our goals, but the other goal is, as we're going up there, is to collect evidence, collect data, to figure out how this mountain was formed, and we're all going to come up with a good scientific explanation as to how the mountain was formed. And so after that, off we go. And when I start my walks, particularly a long walk or a strenuous walk, I just take off. I just walk, nice long stride, just set a good pace. I don't even look back. I just go. And I walk a ways, and then I stop a ways up the trail, and I wait. And usually there's like maybe one or two kids up with me. And all the rest are scrambling, trying to keep up. Hurry, let's go. Their counselors are going, let's go, go, go. So finally they get up. And invariably there's always some kid that goes, you have long legs. You walk too fast. To which I always reply, I think y'all have short legs and you walk too slow. I mean, it's all a matter of perspective, right? But then I tell them, I say, you don't have to walk as fast as me. I don't care if you walk as fast as me. I want you to find your own pace. What I do care about is that you try your hardest and you do your best. And as long as you're trying your hardest and you're doing your best, you'll get no grief from me. And believe me, after 31 years of doing this, I can tell when a kid is trying their hardest. And so we continued up the mountain. And as we climbed higher, the breezes became a little bit fresher and our views out over Estero Bay grew. The late afternoon sun was like casting long shadows across the greening hills, and soon we were higher enough to where we could look down on vultures and hawks soaring below us. After a short stop in a meadow to kind of resolve our hypotheses and look at the data we collected and use journals and charts and pictures and peanut M&Ms and Oreo cookies to come up with our scientific explanations of how the mountain was formed, we continued on up the mountain. By the time we got to the last few switchbacks, the boys were puffing. They're chugging, but they're puffing, and Josh was bringing up the rear, shepherded by that one grandfather. And I could tell he was struggling. I looked back and said, "Josh, you're doing great. Keep going, buddy. You're doing good. If you want to stop, just stop and rest." And he did one. He just didn't even look at me. He just kind of shook me off. You know, he was focused on getting up the mountain. But by the last switchback, I could tell he was in tears. But he kept going. And he got up to the top, and he with his fist raised, he just got up there and just almost like a rock. He was just yelled, just put his hands up, yelled, and all the other boys just started clapping for him. And several of them ran over and patted him on the back. And it was just so cool to see this totally unscripted, spontaneous act of compassion from these young boys. It was such a beautiful November spring day up there on that mountain, gazing out over the ocean. The hills and the dunes were being turned golden by the southern sun as it descended into the sea. The only sound was the breeze through the grasses and the distant roar of the surf rolling upon the shore. And the boys and I just sat there for several minutes, just marveling at the view and listening to the world. Afterward, we riddled our way down the mountain, and we got to the bottom, and as we were walking towards the bus, I had one boy who was with me pretty much so on my heels the whole time. His name was Gustavo. And Gustavo's one of those kids that's always asking questions. I mean, always. And he just, at one point he asked me, he goes, "Do I ask too many questions?" I was like, "No, Gustavo, that's great, man. You got the mind of a scientist, man. Keep asking questions. That's great." He goes, "Man, I've been walking all week, and after climbing that mountain, I should be tired, but I feel so alive." And I just stopped and looked at him. We kind of exchanged knowing smiles. I said, "You like that feeling, huh?" And he's like, "No." "I love it." And I said, "Yeah. There's a kid from the next generation who gets it. And I hope he holds on to it."